tea time. Yeah. Making a difference, one cup at a time. Tea time. So be sure to grab your tea, grab a seat, and tune in to Miss Liz. Tea time. Making a difference, one cup at a time. Tea time, yeah.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tea Time. We are back for an afternoon tea time and I am joined with Scott Grams. He's in the back and we are going to be sharing a good strong cup of tea today. We're going to be talking about coaching, podcasting, bucket lists, all of that good stuff. And if you got a pencil and a pen on the side of your table or wherever you're sitting, grab it because you might just get some pointers and tips this afternoon with our tea time. So let's get the disclaimer in and let's get the bio and let's get Scott in here and let's serve a good strong cup of TEA with you this afternoon on Tea Time with Miss Liz. Disclaimer for Miss Liz's Tea Time live show. Miss Liz, myself, is going live using StreamYard. Before leaving a comment, please grant StreamYard permission to see your name at StreamYard.com. Please be advised that the content brought forward for any Tea Time show hosted by myself, Miss Liz, is always brought forward in good faith. However, may bring forth dialogue and opinions that are not representative of my platform. The facts and information are perceived to be accurate at the given time of airing. All Tea Time guests and audience participants are responsible for using their good judgment in taking any action that may relate to the discussion. The content brought forward may include discussion for some where they may be emotionally at risk. It is significant to know that this show is engaging in discussion forums only to offer and inspire awareness and connection and is not providing therapeutical advice. If you have any questions about the disclaimer or the panelist discussion, you may freely contact me, Miss Liz, through my email at bookingmissliz@gmail.com. Moving forward, should you choose to voluntarily participate in today's show in any aspect, I myself, Miss Liz, welcomes you. And should you decide that the show is not made for you at this time, I respect your wishes and will see you at a later date at a later show on another show. So there we go. Miss Liz's tongue's already twisting and turning. You know what that really means, right? It means that it's time to bring the guest in and get them to talk so I can sip on my tea and sit back and let them do all the work, right? Because that's what we do is we flow the tea. So I'm going to get Scott in here in just a second. So G. Scott Grams is an author, a career coach, and a business coach in Boston, Massachusetts. Scott is driven to help clients follow their true azimuth, I think I'm saying it right. He'll tell me when he gets on here. And which is different from the true north. It means coaching clients to identify the true focus of their lives, something that speaks individually to them. It means recognizing the forces that push our lives off course and adjusting to them so you can get where you want to go. It means that when you're 90 years old and you look back at your life, you have a sense of pride, accomplishments, and meaning with no regrets. And that's where the no regrets comes in the video. So let me get Scott in here so Scott can spill some tea with you guys.
Hey.
Welcome, Scott.
Hey, it's good to be here. And you were close. It's you know what? Somebody once thought it was true as a moose. She said she was in Florida, and I remember her. I will never forget. She goes, I kept sending it to the wrong email because she says I kept mailing it to true as a moose. And I'm like, she's like, you are in New England, and I'm like, Oh my gosh. No, it's azimuth. You got it. You azimuth. Got it, Miss Liz. Azimuth. You did.
And you got me saying moose now. And I come from a moose in Northern Ontario in Canada here where moose is our icon. So there we go. Their moose comes in. So Scott, could you share a little bit on who you were as a little boy and who you are now as a grown man?
Oh boy. Who I was. I was probably very similar to how I am now. I was a troublemaker as a little boy. I went through 12 years of parochial education. So I was in Catholic school. I went to St. Martin of Tours. And my parents were always getting called in to talk to the nuns because I was just a little hell on wheels when I was younger. And in many ways, that's continuing today because I'm outspoken, I'm direct, I have opinions, I put things out there. And I do have to work at that sometimes, but it's more about working at it being skillfully instead of being loud and obnoxious, which is how I was when I was young.
Well, I like straightforward people because, you know, we're not beating around the bush, right? We're being really straight. You know, we're often told that we're blunt or rude, but we're just really, we don't have time for that bush. We just really want to get it out and get the truth out right there.
Life's really short.
Right?
Life's really short.
Why waste time? Just get it exactly. out there and say
exactly.
it. Exactly. You're going to get judged either way, right? If you do good, you get judged. If you do bad, you get judged. So you're getting judged all the time. People are just big judges out there. So I always tell everyone, just do you, right? Just serve your tea.
Right, so right.
I want to get into your tea and then I want to get into the coaching and podcasting and all that good stuff and your books and all that. But I want to get into your tea because my grandma's telling me, get his tea, get his tea, get his tea. So if I ask you what your tea is today, what words would you give me for the TEA?
Tenacity, equanimity, and awareness.
Oh my goodness. I've never had that second word.
Oh boy, equanimity is a very important word. I didn't even have to think twice when you said come up with an E. Equanimity is so important in our lives today.
Oh my goodness. I want to know a little bit more about that word because I've never heard that word before.
We live in a world where there's such a focus on happiness. Happy, happy, happy. Positive psychology, all these things. And the truth of our existence is that, without sounding too philosophical, the truth of our existence is that there's happiness and there's sadness. There's good times and there's bad times. There's sunny days and there's rainy days. Although, you know, in New England lately, it's been lots of rainy days. But, you know, there's a mix. There's two sides to every coin. And focusing on just being happy all the time or grasping after that is setting us up for such distress and depression because that happiness is going to end. The sunny days are going to end. And if equanimity is about being balanced regardless of what is going on. So where happiness chasing and positive psychology is about, you know, going after the sunny days and trying to avoid the rain, equanimity is about carrying an umbrella so you can protect yourself when it's raining and you can protect yourself when it's sunny so you don't get sunburned. That umbrella is this balancing piece. And that really is the key. I hope to cultivate more and more equanimity as time goes on so that I'm not just off the deep end when things are bad or when things are good because the good things always end. Always, always, always. The carrot cake you're eating is going to end. The chocolate ice cream you're eating is going to end. It's pick a thing. It's all going to end.
Great.
Yeah.
So equanimity. You gave me the word tenacity. Why that word, Scott?
Tenacity really focuses on determination, sticking to things. It's kind of another core part of who I am. When I focus on something, I'm very tenacious. I don't have just one goal. I have lots of goals. I'm working on my 18th, 19th, and 20th book at the same time here. And my goal is not just to publish a couple of books. My goal is to publish 100 books before I die. That's tenacious, right?
Wow.
That's tenacious.
That's really good goal to, because you know it is possible. Like you're working on three books right now.
It is possible, right? Yeah, it's totally possible.
And what was the A word that you gave me?
Awareness.
Awareness. Why awareness?
Awareness because in order to have equanimity, you have to have awareness about what's going on in our, you know, around you, around with your body, around with your motivation, around all those pieces. You have to have awareness of self, because if we don't have awareness of self, how are we going to know what we want and where we want to go? Right? Everything starts with awareness. When you think you go to the doctor, what's the first thing the doctor does? They take your blood pressure, they take your weight, they take your temperature, they listen to your heart rate. That is awareness. They want to be aware of these things beyond what you're coming in to talk about, right? We go to have our car looked at. They plug in the little computer thing in the OBD port and see if there's any codes that are going. They want to be aware of all those things going on so that they can say, all right, we got to fix this too, because this is about to go or that's about to happen. Everything, we have to have an awareness of that stuff, of the baseline, so that we can improve.
I love that you say that, improve, because that's a key, right? The awareness is the key of change. It is the awareness of being aware that we need solutions. We need to fix things, you know? And the reason that I get you and the other guests to share their words is because sometimes we hear these words and we're just like, oh, well, it's just awareness. What are we going to talk about awareness? You know, but let's get deeper. Let's get into that cup, right? And my grandma is in the back and she's just like, get his tea. A lot of people, my tea comes from my Oma, and my Oma's in the back room with us all the time. And she taps me on the shoulder and says, okay, I want it now. Like, I want to know his tea. And something was just telling me, like, for us to get into our conversation and our tea time this afternoon is to understand the tea that Scott's going to serve. And Scott, you do a lot of coaching for career businesses, personal mm-hmm. coaching as well.
I do.
You know, so I think that's where the awareness has to come in. The awareness of Miss Liz has to understand your tea in order to serve your tea today. So now, Scott, I want to get into your books. I want to get into the awareness of the books, because you said you want to write 100 books before you die.
Right.
So what number are you at right now?
I'm working on 18, 19, and 20 right now at the same time.
So, and you got, what, another 40 years to go?
At least, yeah, I hope.
At least,
we'll
right?
see. We'll see. We'll see. But, you know, I need to get going. I can't be playing around. I have to be tenacious about this and start really writing.
Right? So what are you doing? And you're doing 3 books a year?
I think to get to my goal, I need to be shooting around 4 books a year or 5 books a year. So
that's not bad. And that's a compliment, and you can accomplish that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
Stephen King writes for an hour every day, and that's it.
Oh, wow.
That's it. If I wrote for an hour every day, I'd have a lot of information that can then get weeded out and edited out and sorted out and put out.
So how old were you when you wrote your first book?
Oh, that was about 7 years ago.
Oh.
I hadn't really done any writing until about 7 years ago. And then, boom, I started writing. And the next thing you know, I'm off. I'm like, wow, I have a lot of opinions. Some people would say I'm opinionated, but I would just say I have a lot of opinions and a lot of things that I want to, I think is important for people to hear about.
And what was your first book?
It was How to Choose a Coach, How to Find a Coach, 10 Things You Need to Know About Coaching Before You Choose a Coach. It was a baby book. It was just, 10,000 words. It wasn't really big. And it was, and that was the first piece that launched it out. And then after that, every time I come up with a topic, I'm like, oh, I should write a book about this. Or, oh, people seem to want to know about that. I'm going to put a book together about that. So it's a wide variety of book topics.
So what are the 10 things you need to get a coach?
You have to get the book. The book is actually free. The book
is free. The book is free.
If you go to gscottgraham.com, which is on this piece, or you just Google my name, you will find that it's I made it free. I was like, oh, I'm just going to make that book free, and people can just get it and go through it and see some of the, well, you know, one of the things that happens in the coaching field is that anybody could just decide tomorrow to be a coach and go through a weekend training and then put their name out on some billboard. And I wanted people to be aware that there's bigger things to look for around what a coach is and what a coach does, because you're trusting your life and your direction and your livelihood and all kinds of other things with this person. And you want to make sure you got somebody who is trained and understands and skillful and helps you follow your path and not just rattles off something they got in a weekend course.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because there are so many people that do that, right? They do that the weekend coach, and then they put this big program out, and people are investing hundreds of dollars into these programs.
Right.
They had what, 48 hours? Even that, because you're not doing 24 hour, you know, you're doing maybe six to eight hour course. So within 16 hours, you're trusting somebody with your life, you know? So what are the tips that people could look out for these, you know, these 48 hour coaches?
The easiest thing, this is the easiest thing to ask for, is ask for a copy of the coach's liability insurance, malpractice insurance. If you ask for that, if you just say, can I get a copy of your, do you have malpractice insurance? Do you have liability? And by that, I don't mean just general business insurance. Like anybody that starts a business can get business liability insurance. Someone who's got the same type of, like if you go to see a therapist or a doctor, they have malpractice insurance. If you go see a personal trainer, that personal trainer can get malpractice insurance. A massage therapist gets malpractice insurance. So if they massage you the wrong way and something happens and you could sue them, they're going to have that. If a coach doesn't have that, that tells you that, you know, they're probably not qualified, and you can let the insurance companies do the work, because the insurance companies want to make money. Yes. And they're not going to provide malpractice insurance by someone who doesn't know their knee from their elbow. That's the easiest thing to do, is to say, can I have a copy? And if someone's like, oh, well, you know, and then the other piece that I often hold folks to watch out, this coaches are taught to do this all the time. They're taught this sales technique. They call it a discovery call. That's the word that flows around. They're like, let's do a discovery call. And coaches will do this thing called the discovery call. And it's a series of questions. And usually the last question is, what's your credit card number? It's a very kind of focused way to kind of do some coaching, but really kind of manipulate somebody into turning over their credit card number and signing up. It's almost like a timeshare sales technique, but it's about coaching, right? So they ask you, you know, what do you want out of your life? How are you going to do it? And, you know, and it comes down to, you know, and if you question, well, I'm not sure right now, they say, well, you know, how much is your life worth to you? How important is this for you? I mean, it's like this little,
mind game, right?
How much
can I dig into them?
Right.
And then I can say, well, I can do that for $99 more, or I can do that for $69 more. Oh, you need this program now, and you need that program.
Right,
by
right.
the end of it, you're like paying a grand for something that somebody took for what, less than 48 hours?
Yeah. So just be careful of those things, people. Malpractice insurance, and watch out for those discovery calls.
Yeah. I'm big on getting the truth out there. And that's why, Scott, I reached out to you, because I did see you on the Mental Health Warriors, and I want to thank Adam Duvall for that, you know, connection.
That was great. I really like that show. That was a great show to be on.
And I really want to get that information out there, because there are so many people that are these 48 hour success stories, you know, like, oh, believe in my program, do this, do that. You know, it's just like a lot of people, oh, I've been podcasting for 1 year. But I'm gonna you can invest in me for $1,000 and I'll show you the ropes on how to do it. And somebody who has been podcasting for 10 years, you know, and then they come and say, well, that's not the way it's done now. The newbies know how to run it. Okay, well, you know, kind of get out there and research. Do your research.
Right.
You know, and ask the questions. Like mm-hmm. you said, Scott, like ask mm-hmm. them, where's your insurance? Like, you know, kind of play the reversal game and ask.
Absolutely. Them, you know. Absolutely.
And I always like to ask them, so if I give you this much money, so I'll be healed, right, in 6 weeks? And if they tell me yes, I'm like, I'm not going to even invest because healing is a life journey. And
right,
and
you're that, right.
And that's what I got when you were on Mental Health Warriors, where you were sharing about, you know, substance abuse and depression and mental health and all of that. That's a life journey. You know,
that is a life journey.
You can't go to somebody and say, you know what, in 6 weeks, you're going to be completely healed. You don't know if there's going to be relapses. You don't know if there's going to be triggers or traumas or anything that come up, right?
You're absolutely right.
So that's what I really grabbed from you when you were on Mental Health Warriors, was that you were really true and you were like upfront about stuff. Like you were direct. And I like direct people. I like straightforward people because it saves a lot of time. So I want to get into your books because I know you have a couple books there. But we're not going to do the bucket
list. I do.
We're not going to do the bucket list right away. We're going to do, you pick a book.
We're not going to do the bucket list right away.
No, okay, we're not going to do the bucket list right away. We're going to keep the bucket list for a little bit.
Let's see. What should I do? Well, what are you interested in? So we've got, these are just some of the books. We've got this book about marijuana. We've got this book, which is kind of a perspective on gay pride or gay, you know, kind of wokeness that happens for the gay community. There's this time management book. That's We have a book on grief. I have a book on fitness.
Let's do time.
Okay.
I love time travel.
Time.
Let's do time.
All right. Where would you like to go with this? This is Make Time Your Superhero Power.
So what got you to write that book?
One of the pieces that was what really stands out to me was that people are very focused on how we are spending our time. Because once those minutes are gone, they're absolutely gone. But instead of focusing on how to be kind of more effective and make sure we're making the right decisions and choices about time, we focus around managing the time as if it's a thing that we have control over. And so I decided after working on this for a while to publish this. I mean, and this is actually one of my longest books. It's a couple hundred pages long, but I focus on different aspects of time in kind of nice snippets in this book, from ways to analyze your time. It's the awareness piece that I was talking about earlier, to, you know, attributes that you bring to time management, to planning, to how to delegate, to how to set goals, different pieces that how to run better meetings, how to interact with folks, all in brief snippets. So somebody can pick up this book and read 3 pages, you know, and here's a chapter on, here we go right there. How choosing to live with no regrets can improve time management. And it's just 3 pages long to give you that snippet, because I don't want people to just have to invest in some sort of time management system or invest in, okay, now I have to follow this procedure to manage my time. I just wanted to give people snippets and pieces so that they can make better decisions about the choices of their time. Does that make sense?
No, that does make sense. And it does come all together because we're going to be talking about bucket lists in a little bit. And it's the time that we put into our list, right? So it all lines together. It all flows together. Like the snippets, making it short, making it direct questions. And, you know, because people's mindsets and Elizabeth, where's the time? The words that I'm looking for. Our spam, like our brain, you know, it's right. Short. It wants short. It doesn't want long chapters. It doesn't want, you know, like when I read a book and it's got like 12 pages for a chapter, I'm just like, okay, I want to get to the next chapter. I want short snippets. And I think short
we have become a TikTok world.
Yes.
Right. 60 seconds, 30 seconds. One of the, one of the services that's, have you ever heard of Wisdom?
Yes.
I've been on the Wisdom app, and people can find me on the Wisdom app. And one of the nice things about that is that they ask you these very profound questions and you have 60 seconds to answer. That's it. Not 62 seconds, not 63, 60 seconds. And you better wrap it up when you're getting to 50, because otherwise it's cutting you right off. It's 60 seconds, it stops. It stops.
Yeah, Wisdom is really a good one because it breaks the ice. I find they're really good icebreakers.
Yes,
because absolutely. It's so short, right? It's like 60 seconds. You don't got time to mess around. You better have an answer. Like you better think of it and better think of it fast.
Right, right. Exactly.
You know,
it's interesting. You were talking about time management and investing time in the whole bucket list. And that also relates to awareness, you know, how that bucket list came out, or that bucket list activity. It really came about because I was working with coaching clients who had no idea about the vision that they had for their lives. So many people go through life and they have no perspective on what they want out of life, no perspective of where they want to go, what service they want to do to the world, what their purpose is. And so I ended up coming up with these bucket list activities to help people try to figure that out. And then eventually that turned into a book and an audiobook and a workbook. And it has grown from there.
Well, I think, Scott, the time management, right? We're all given the same amount of time, all of us.
Absolutely.
We're all given 24 hours. It's what we do with our hour and our time. And like you said, once the time is gone, the time is gone. There's no going back. You know, you can't change it. So you can't say, well, I wish I would have done that an hour ago. While that hour is gone, get it done now. You know, stop with the excuses, stop with the delays and, you know, procrastination. So how do you feel about procrastination?
I'm tenacious. Right. You have to seize the moment and get it done. You know, people procrastinate around the things that, and this is just an opinion. People might don't send hate mail to me. People procrastinate around the things that are really important and core to their life. At the same time, we don't procrastinate around the junk.
Right.
Like we don't procrastinate around having a second bowl of ice cream. We don't even think about that. We just pick it up and start shoveling it into our mouth. We don't procrastinate about, you know, watching hours and hours of mindless TV. We do procrastinate about exercise, about eating healthy. We procrastinate about telling our loved ones how much they mean to us, right? But we don't procrastinate about, you know, clicking on some porn on the computer. Boom, there we go. You know, it's the important. We don't procrastinate around the things that are self-serving. You know, George Bernard Shaw wrote a poem, and he said in his poem, the true joy in life the being is being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one. The being a force of nature, for us to be a force of nature instead of, and this is how he describes people, instead of a feverish, selfish little clot of ailments and grievances complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I mean, he wrote this ages ago. That is still true today.
Yeah.
Even more true, right? And he says in this poem, The Splendid Torch, He says, I'm of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community. And as long as I live, it's my privilege to do for it whatever I can. And he says, I want to be thoroughly used up by the time I die, because life for me is a brief candle. And it's a splendid torch that I get to carry for a little while. And I want to make it burn brightly as I can, for future generations. And that's really that's what people procrastinate about. They procrastinate about, you know, putting themselves out there, about burning brightly for future generations. We don't procrastinate about being the selfish little slog of whatever, complaining about how this is bad and that's bad and this president's bad and that president's good and the weather's this and that. I mean, we're full of that all the time.
I wonder why we do that as human beings. You know, we procrastinate the good stuff. Like, you know, we could make a difference if we stopped complaining, if we used our time better, you know, the time management of, I don't know right. why we do that, because everyone does it, right? Everyone will have the second bowl of ice cream, or, you know, instead of going and saying, I love you to somebody that they love. And then they hear that person's passed. And then they're like, oh, I should have said that instead of the second bowl of ice cream, you know?
Right. That's why one of my missions is to live a life of no regrets. And that does not mean that I just don't care. That's not what I mean when I say no regrets. It means that I've made choices along the way that, you know, if somebody dies or this happens or that happens, I'm not saying, God, I wish I had done that. I should have done that, right? I am not going to be 80 years old and look back at my life and say, I should have did this. I should have done that. No. Nope, 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 nope. Not going to be there. Too many people get to that point. Yeah. And that's a piece that happens regardless of financial situation or environment. That's a piece that too many people get to, unfortunately.
Well, a lot of people say, I wish I had more time. You know, you had the time, so why didn't you use that time wisely?
Yeah.
You know, because they did a research a couple of years ago, and they asked a bunch of seniors what their biggest regret was in life, and they said time. They wasted their time.
Right. Yeah, if I got hit by a bus tomorrow, I wouldn't have and died. Nobody should have any regrets for me. I mean, I would not have written my 100 books, but I've got 18. I'm 17. I'm working on 18, 19, and 20. They could be, oh, he didn't finish his last three books, you know, but they're almost done. Someone could piece them together if something happened to me and
right? Like somebody could continue the journey. Like yeah. You still have 100 books, kind of use maybe some of the other books that you've already written and get those 100 done.
Right.
So what is your biggest goal in life right now, besides 100 books?
Right now, well, this relates to one of the books. My biggest goal in life, I am teaching my two dogs how to stand up paddleboard. And so that's my biggest goal right now. And that's one of the books that I'm writing. I'm writing a book on teaching your dogs how to stand up paddleboard and doing a video piece on this so that people who've got dogs who want to do this can do that. And I'm teaching my dogs. So in 3 months ago, I had never paddleboarded ever. And of course, since I've never paddleboarded, my dogs have never paddleboarded. And, you know, yesterday we just did a 6-mile paddleboard down the Connecticut River. And so we're bopping it. We're doing it. The biggest goal around that right now is I've got two dogs. So it's not just me on the paddleboard. It's me and two dogs on the paddleboard. And my current goal around that piece, right, because you set little goals along the way, is I have a little floaty thing, and what I'm doing is throwing that off into the river or lake, and then my big black lab leaps off the paddleboard and gets that and swims back to the paddleboard. We're still in the middle of the lake. And then I get the dog back on the paddleboard, all without flipping over. So I'm not at that. That's really the goal. There's all these other things, but the goal is for me not to go in the water. And we're able to do that, except I'm still sitting down. So my final goal is that I will get up to my knees and then I'll be standing up and I'll have the little frisbee or whatever. I'll throw it off the paddleboard. The dog will leap off the paddleboard while I'm standing up and then swim back and I'll get the dog back on the paddleboard and I won't go in the drink.
Oh my goodness. So what made you come up with that?
That specific goal or activity of the dog on the piece?
Yeah.
As I was writing the book, that's a piece that I'm going to include in the book and the video as a piece that people who want to paddleboard with their dogs, that's something they should be able to do. Because if you can't do that, then your dog's nervous about the water. You don't know how to get your dog back on the paddleboard if you fall off in the middle of the lake, which would be a horrible thing to happen, right? You're in the water, the dog's in the water, and you can't get back on the paddleboard, and you're a half a mile from the shore. What do you do? And it also helps you be more stable on the board and turns the board into a fun activity for the dog. The dog likes it. Right, it's a fun thing. They can jump off, they come back, you're interacting. That is the penultimate in terms of skills. But to be able to get there, you have to get your dog comfortable with the board. You have to get your dog comfortable getting back on the board. You have to get your dog to be able to want to jump off the water. They're already nervous on the board. All of those skills are skills you should have and your dog should have if you're out paddleboarding and you don't want to drown.
Right.
And you want to be safe and you want to have fun and you want to. And so before you find yourself in that situation where you're both in the water and then you're trying to figure out what do you do, this is a fun way to engage with each other and engage with the paddleboard and the water and build some skills.
Well, it's all about balance of life too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We go right back to the balance again. Like you have to have that balance and that fear. Like you said, if you fall in the water, what do you do? Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I was out yesterday. I was out and there were some boats going by and we, you know, hit some waves. And right when we hit one of the waves, my big black lab, who was facing one direction, decided she wanted to turn. Right. So that shifts the whole weight of the board. Right. And I almost went in, but I didn't go in. But because we have been practicing these other activities, so I'm able to modify my weight based on what's happening because I'm doing these other activities.
I think that's pretty cool. You got to take some video of this too.
I am definitely putting together a video piece, especially the piece on how to get the dog on the board in the middle of the lake.
Yeah,
that's really critical. You should not be out on a lake with your dog if you don't know how to get your dog back on the board if they fall in. And that's a piece to practice when you're on dry land and practice when a little bit in the water and work your way out so that you have that skill set.
I think it's pretty cool. And I love that people have all different goals, right? Like I wasn't expecting a paddle boat and dogs when I asked you what your goal was. I was expecting travel somewhere. What everyone gives us, right? We want to travel. We want to try new food. We want to buy it, start a new business. And here you give me paddle boat and dogs. Like, I love it.
Yeah, so, there we go.
So before we get into the bucket list, I want to get into the one word. I asked you one word to give me to describe yourself as a person, and you gave me three words, and I took it because I feel that it's your story. And you gave me Swiss Army knife. So why that word? Three words?
I was I did not come up with the term Swiss Army knife. I have a colleague of mine, Cindy, who runs a payroll place in Lebanon. She always described me as a placenta of information, just overflowing and just full of stuff. And that's not a piece that just really like hung with me that I really liked. And I happened to be on this one podcast and I was, you know, kind of kvetching about my friend Cindy, and you know, she just describes me as this placenta of information, and they were just like rolling their eyes. And one of the guys in the podcast said, you know what, you are so knowledgeable about so many areas, like even just with books, right? Like I write a book on the bucket list and time management, and I'm writing a book on stand-up paddleboarding.
right.
I mean, that's like, could that be any further apart on anything? And so we were talking about that, and he said, you know what, you are the Swiss Army knife of life and coaching. And he said that's what you are. He says, you are a Swiss Army knife. And I don't know if this ever happened to you, Liz, but this was one of those times where somebody said something and it was like, I was like perfect. I was like, oh my God,
that's me.
That is me. Why didn't I think of that? And so since they threw that out, I'm hanging my hat on that piece. Because when you think about it, what's a Swiss Army knife, it's got all these different tools in it, all these different things, yet it's just a knife.
Right.
It's just, it's one thing that can fit in your pocket that has, you know, you could, you know, you could decommission a bomb with, right?
You got a fork, you got a spoon, you got everything on a Swiss Army knife. Yeah. And that's why I went with it, because all my guests give me one word and Scott gave me three. And I was like, you know what? I'm going with those three because I think there is a good story behind it.
That is the story. And that's actually a better word than placenta. If you said, give me a word that describes you. And I said, yeah, Cindy Hollis says I'm a placenta. And you'd be like, what? What?
Well, I would have never gotten that word either before. And Scott, you gave me your favorite color is green. Why green?
I think it's because I've spent so much time out in nature. And so much time, you know, in the woods and hiking, right? Grass and leaves. I'm surrounded by green all the time. I love green.
That's awesome. So now let's get into the bucket list.
Oh, here we go. Where's that book?
Let's get that book and let's get into the bucket list.
Here we go. There we go.
I did some research on that book, and you have over 50,000 ideals for a bucket list. Where'd you get all those ideals from?
I worked on it a little bit at a time. I got some people to help me with some information on it and really kind of put that piece out. So the idea behind this book and the website and this bucket list is that, like I said earlier, so many people don't connect that George Bernard Shaw piece that I was talking about. So many people don't connect to what they are doing in this life and what's important in this life and where, you know, you turn to somebody and say, what's your mission? I don't know. Just going to work, right? Those people are going to end up with regrets and they're not going to be very happy when they turn down, and they're going to have lots of shoulds when they're in their 80s and 90s. And so the idea behind this is that people are familiar with the idea of a bucket list, and people can start to put together things that they'd like to do at some point in your life. Most people start off with the obvious things, like I want to be on the top of the Eiffel Tower, I want to go to Machu Picchu, I want to eat blowfish, I want to, you know, go to Hawaii, and after working through kind of the obvious things that you just think about right off the top of your head, as you dig deeper, other pieces come out. They where they talk about maybe their family. Like somebody might say, you know what? I want to see my son graduate from college. That's on my bucket list. That would be great to have. And so the book takes people through all these categories beyond just travel and food and the obvious pieces. It moves people to think about family values, spiritual values, emotional values. Where do you want to go? And then it takes each of these pieces, takes somebody through a piece where they can reflect and analyze. This comes back to that self-awareness piece. What's there? And then figure out what they need to necessarily put in their life. Figure out all what the values are that reflect this. Like if somebody says, you know what, the most important, my most important priorities, yeah, I'd like to go to Machu Picchu, and yeah, I'd like to go to all 50 states, and I'd like to go all the national parks, but you know, I really want to see my kids graduate from college. And you know, I really want to see them be successful. Well, so then you say, well, what's that? What's the value that's attached to that piece? Well, it's being, and I'm making this up, you know, it's being a good parent. It's being a good role model. It's supporting them. It's talking to them. It's, and so what happens is that you start off with, I want to see my kids graduate from college and be successful. And then you figure out from that piece, well, my value, I guess if that's the most important thing on my bucket list, then the most important value in my life must be being a good parent, being a parent that's present with them. Yeah. And then, and only then you can start to reverse engineer a life that's meaningful. And so you can say, huh, should we have dinner every night together, the whole family? Well, what would a good parent do? What would a person who wants to see their son or daughter graduate from college and be successful, would that person want to have dinner every night with their, is that important to get to that end goal? And then some of these things that maybe people are resistant about become really crystal clear. And if you say, my God, my job is to be a good parent. All right, so, gosh, should I miss my son's football game or should I stick around after work for 2 hours and work on the project extra? Well, before doing the bucket list, I really wasn't sure. But now I've done my bucket list, and nowhere on my bucket list is, you know, completing a report for my boss. I think I'm going to go to my son's football game. Because although that's not on my bucket list, being successful in college is on my bucket list, and being a successful human being is on my bucket list. And this is what I need to do to be able to do that. Yeah.
I really like that you bring the value into the bucket list, right? Because we have a person who's asking the difference. What's the difference between a goal and a bucket list?
Well, you know, I think a bucket list is just this meaningless list of stuff, right? That's why this is the bucket list workbook, right? And that's why it's called a life transforming bucket list and not just some bucket list that you write and then just sit down. The idea behind this is to not just create another bucket list of things to do. Oh, maybe someday I'll get to do this. The idea is that you'll identify goals, and then those goals will translate into values, and then those values transform your life. If you did this, you could throw it away. You don't have to worry about the bucket list anymore, because if you're living a life that's aligned with your values, it doesn't matter. You don't have to chase anything because you're already living the life that's most fulfilling for you right now. today.
So you're not living that life of I could or I should or I, you know, that.
Yeah.
You know, the right. life of regret. You're living right. the values. You're living what you want to really do, you know. And then the reason why we make lists in life is sometimes just to show us, like, you know, like it's like that mirror, right? Like you say, oh, well, I want to travel here. I want to chase this and I want to chase that. But we don't put family values. We don't put our spiritual values in. And I think that you brought up some really good points, Scott, when you said that, like, as you were sharing that, I was like, it's true. You know, do we want to have that Sunday dinner because we want to see our kids graduate? But we also want them to understand that family is important. And by me showing up for their graduation, we're showing that we want right. family value as well.
Right. And somebody might not put their bucket list might be filled with hikes and bike rides and canoeing. And they're like thinking, gosh, you know what? What my number one value is being outside and being outdoors, and they're working behind a desk 50 hours a week
right.
and never going on vacation or going anywhere. Well, they should be out paddleboarding with their dogs.
Right.
Because
check out for that book, because that book's going to come out this year.
Yes. It's going to come out this year. Yes. As long as the three of us don't drown.
Right.
Come out this year. Right.
But again, yeah. like you said, the hiking and walking, it's the spiritual connection of values, making that time mm-hmm. for yourself, being self-aware that you're important, you know?
Right. Right.
And I think that's where people are getting the bucket list way out of proportion, you know? I want to do this. I want to jump from the, you know, I want to climb the mountain. I want to bungee jump. Those are things that are just to beat the fear, I find, like, you know, or just push the limits.
Yeah. Yeah. And people think of those things because of the movie that got put out. They're like, I want to skydive, right? I want to skydive. I want to swim with dolphins. You know, there's this pop thing of like, oh, this is what everybody should have on their bucket list. But if you really dig deeper, you really can extract from that pieces that are core to who you are that you might not know who you are. That's where this came from. People saying, I have no idea who I am or what I want to do.
So have you right? tried any of those things in that bucket list?
On my book or what? Or
yeah, in your book. Have you tried any of those things?
Well, I have tried some of the things on the list on the website. The book, when you get the book, here's the interesting thing. You want to see what's written in the book? Here we go. Look at that. It's blank.
Oh, well, you know what? I wasn't expecting.
You know why? Because it's your bucket list and they're your values. And I'm not going to turn to you and say, look, more blank pages for you to fill in along the way. The audiobook tells you what to do. And there are some cute little pictures along the way on this of people working on brainstorming their bucket list. But the book is lots of lines.
You do
lots of lines.
I love it.
It's not something you get and start to check off. It's something you create. Because you, Liz, your bucket list is going to be different than my bucket list.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the things will start off in common, right?
Yeah.
Skydiving, Machu Picchu, who knows, whatever. but when those things get put out, you're a much different person than me, and your values are different, and the things that you hold dear are different. And if you don't know what those are, the bucket list will help you figure that out.
I love that those are blank. You really got me with that book. I thought like you were going to show like a list of that 50,000 that is written on, but on the website, do we find the 50,000? Or
there's a lot on the website. There's because other people who have read the book have gone on the website and added some of their things you can add, or people will email me. Here's some things that I've added on my bucket list. Can you put it on the website? And I'm like, oh, I guess I'll create a little category and add that piece in. Because people we're still in this kind of we live in this world that is we're told, which is a fallacy. Once I have the two cars and the really nice house in suburbia, and then the house on the lake, and the really nice vacation home in Florida, and I've been to Disney, and I've done this, then everything will be great. And it becomes this list of things. But people tend to not live their lives by their values. They tend to live their life by the list of things they're chasing, which is related to that George Bernard Shaw piece of like being these like, you know, people that are like sucking things up for their own good and wants. And so this starts off to trick you in the end that, okay, you're going to figure out your list, but then you end up at the very end after many blank pages, figuring out your value to yourself, your family, your church, your friends, your community. And those values are so much more important than your bucket list. Then you can throw the bucket list away. You don't need it anymore.
I really like that you have those blank pages, because that's like a real awakening, right? Because we automatically think this book says bucket list. So you think there's a list in there, and then you open it and you got these blank pages. So it's really an eye awakening moment and says, oh, I have to do the work. I have to figure out what my list is. And I really like that. I like that. That is different. You really got me with those blank sheets. Like, you just never know what you get, right? With blank sheets.
Got you with the Swiss Army knife. Got you with the blank sheets. There we go.
It's like the Swiss Army knife, right? Ta-da!
We are.
So, Scott, any final words you'd like to share with the audience today about what you do and how they can reach out to you?
The easiest, you can Google G. Scott Graham. Boom, I'll show up with books and this, and you can go easily to gscottgraham.com. You can see other podcasts there. You can see other books I'm working on. You can see videos of pieces. I'm on Facebook, and I post videos of me paddleboarding with the dogs a lot. You can check out those pieces.
I think it's really cool. I had a blast with you today on Tea Time.
This is great. This
you
is
know,
great.
You just never know where the tea takes us, right? Everyone's like, Miss Liz, you're going to be like asking lots of questions. And I have questions, and I didn't even get into the questions because I was really enjoying the conversation. And I think that's what we need to do, right, is value the conversation with our guest. And that. So I really want to thank you for that, Scott. And if anybody would like to reach out to you besides the website and have you on their podcast, do they go to the website to register or?
They can go to the website, send me a message. My phone number's on there. My email's up there. It's all transparent that every single telemarketer on the planet also has and calls me. So, yes, just reach out to me. I'm happy to talk about any of these topics. As you hear, there's a whole wide range of things from grief and loss to marijuana legalization to this bucket list workbook to paddleboarding. And one of the other books that I'm working on is taking the 8 precepts that people in the Buddhist tradition use when they go on longer meditation course and transforming and integrating those into your life. See, another huge way, not related to anything, but I'm all over the place.
We'll have to have you back on to talk about that.
Yes, that'd be great.
Thank you again. I want to thank Mental Health Warriors for giving me Scott's contact information. Again, thank you, Adam, for that. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today on Tea Time. If you're watching the replay, please push #replay and let me know where you're tuning in from, because I always like to hear from that. And I'll send Scott the questions that were sent to me through email so he can answer those, and I'll put the answers up on during the stream and that as well. So again, I want to thank everybody, and I will see everybody tonight at 7 p.m. where I bring in Michael Clark. He is a horror author. So he'll be sharing about his horror books. That's right. We're going from this morning. We went from romantic comedy. Today we went to bucket lists, and tonight we're going to horror stories, because that's just how I roll. I just do a lot of different things on Tea Time. And again, if you'd like to know more about Tea Time and Miss Liz or any of the guests, you can watch the replays all on my YouTube channel. Give that a quick subscribe, ring that bell, and you'll be notified when there's a new Tea Time going up. and check out the website, www.missliz'steatimes.com. Check out the merchandise, grab yourself a t-shirt, grab yourself a pencil case. There's a lot of cool stuff from Miss Liz as well. And I'll see everybody at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the last tea time of this week for tea.